So there is one intermediator between God and men. So why pray? Now, some people think that prayer is just some kind of empty ritual with no reality. And other people, they just get discouraged because their prayers seem to go unanswered. They seem to be fruitless. And others just feel that they feel that they don't need to pray. And some others have just quit praying altogether. I want to give you a quick story I heard from Leonard Ravenhill. Some of you know who he is. I happened to catch one of his videos. He's passed away. But real man of God, man of prayer. And he gave an example of a church that ran around 70 people on a Wednesday night. God had been stirring their hearts to return to prayer. They were good at having church services and listening to sermons, but they were becoming weak in the prayer area of prayer. So they decided to turn Wednesday night into prayer meeting. And so they went from 60, 70, whatever it was around that ballpark, down within just a couple weeks, down to 6. Isn't that interesting? And let me just suggest to you today that the reason why is because the devil knows that prayer will destroy him. It will crush the enemy. Because prayer is our license here on earth to invoke heaven's influence in this realm to advance God's kingdom. It must be through intercession and through prayer of God's people. And so the enemy's always going to come against prayer. He's always going to try to discourage you from praying. He's going to give you all kinds of reasons, excuses, why you shouldn't come to prayer meeting, why you shouldn't get up, why you shouldn't, you know, give yourself over to pray. Because he knows that prayer is the key to the kingdom. If we want to see God move in power, amen, and transform lives, it requires a praying people. And I'm going to give you the reason why we need to pray this morning. If God is sovereign and can do whatever he wishes, then why pray? Have you ever heard that voice before? If God is God, he's sovereign, then why should we pray? Can't God just do whatever he wants when he wants, however he wants? Why then should we pray? If the Bible already gives us the end, the prophecies are there, we know how it's going to end, then why pray? It's already written as to what's going to happen. Have you ever heard that voice before? All great men and women in the Bible were people of prayer. They were committed to prayer. God has placed in our hands keys, but we've got to use them. It's not enough to know that we have authority. We've got to activate it. We've got to use the authority we have. John Wesley said this, "It seems without God, man cannot. And without man, God will not." It seems without God, man cannot. And without man, God will not. Folks, I want us to understand today the importance of prayer and to never quit praying. Why did Jesus emphasize prayer if it wasn't so important? In Luke 18:1, he gave a story, but that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Always ought to pray and not lose heart. How many today would say that prayer is optional for believers? Nobody believes that prayer is optional. So how many of us are praying really given ourselves to pray. How many know there needs to be a partnership between heaven and earth in order for things to happen on earth? So what happens on the earth depends on you. I'm going to say it again. What happens on the earth depends on you. Because we like to point the finger at God and say, God, what's wrong with you? Has anybody ever done that? Has anybody ever got upset with God? And God, why are things so messed up in our world today? Because man has not exercised his legal authority on the earth to invoke heaven's influence. And therefore, when good men do nothing, evil prevails. Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? There's a correlation to faithlessness and the evil that is prevailing on the earth. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the beginning from the end. He wrote the book. He knows how it's going to end. But folks, can I suggest to you today that the reason why our world is getting increasingly more wicked is because men do not pray. And God knew that. But God always looks for someone. He looks for a man. He looks for a woman. Someone who will stand in the gap. Someone that he can, you know, turn to and say, let me borrow you to accomplish my plan on the earth. Now, why does God need me? Why does God choose little old me, little old you? Why? Because God gave us in the original plan, and his original commandment was to what? Be fruitful, multiply, right? Replenish the earth. He says in the very beginning in Genesis, let them, who's that? Mankind. Let them have dominion over the earth. He didn't say, let us have dominion. He said, let them have dominion over the earth. How many know that God is not a promise breaker and he doesn't break his word? And therefore, if God gave to mankind the authority to rule on the earth realm, that he is not going to break his word to interfere. Even when Eve was tempted by Satan, God did not stop her because he gave her the authority to choose. The right to choose. Adam had a choice as well, whether he was going to follow her or not. But in the very beginning, God had given us dominion, and therefore he had given choice, because love is not something forced. Love must be a choice. Are you with me today? Amen. If you're in a relationship, if it's not an arranged marriage, then it's a choice marriage. It's someone you wanted to be with. You chose to be with that person. How many know that God doesn't want us to love him because you cannot love on command? Can anyone relate without intimacy? God wants people who want him. Just like you and I want people to want us. We want people to love us, do we not? Do you like people to like you? Sure we do. But we don't want it because you will love me because I'm your father. That would be ridiculous. Okay, I love you. Now, they'll say, I love you with my mouth, but my heart can be far from that person. Are you hearing me? And that's what Jesus was saying, is that some people are saying, I love you, God, but their heart is really far from them. They're just giving them empty words. So there needs to be a partnership. Now, you and I are a spirit. First, we're spirits. In earth bodies, right? Earthen vessels, clay jars. God formed man, right, out of clay. But What he really did is he formed a body out of dirt, and then he created man in his own image and his likeness, who is a spirit being. Amen. And a spirit will live forever. Spirits don't die. So God took the man that he made and he put him inside the earth suit. And he placed him in a garden. And he gave him authority and dominion over that realm. Amen. Over the earth realm. And so we need to understand that, first of all, we are not just a body, amen, but we are a spirit that has a body. And people don't seem to think that their body is that important, but it is very important. Because your body on the earth gives you legal right to be here in your spirit. And by the way, there are many different colors of dirt. And I heard Miles Monroe say this, but he says, don't judge a man by his dirt. You got black dirt, brown dirt, yellow dirt, white dirt. It's all dirt. It's just a suit. Amen. It's the you inside the dirt. But the reason the body is important is because our body is a temple. Would you agree? Now, the word for dirt is humus. A word for dirt is humus. And man is a spirit. So when you have humus and man, you have human. Amen? So we, in order for us to understand prayer, we've got to understand our purpose on the earth. Why we are created. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. That word image means phantom. And likeness means resemblance, model, or shape. So do you see spirit, body? And when he breathed into the nostrils, he became what? A living soul. So we are a triune individual. Just as God is triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one, so you have body, soul, and spirit. We were made in his image and his likeness. So far, so good? And because God gave us this authority on the earth, hear it, God will not interfere on the earth realm without man. That is why in Matthew 6:10, Jesus said, pray this way, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you understand? Because of our position on the earth as ambassadors, as a priesthood, we have to pray for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. And listen, folks, God is looking for people. Amen? He's looking for people that have earth bodies. So that he can inhabit them and through them accomplish his divine purposes on the earth realm. He needs you and I. You are that important. God wants us to make ourselves available for him to possess and utilize to bring in his eternal purposes on the earth. God has always chosen human beings to accomplish his purposes. Who shall I send? Who will go for me? The call came to Isaiah. Do you say, well, God is sovereign. God can do whatever he wants. But God will not violate his word. And God gave mankind dominion on the earth. So what he wants to do now is he wants to rule on the earth through us. Are you hearing it? Is it making sense? But y'all are good. You're the Bereans. You're all thinking this through and say, God, what about this? You know, judge everything that I say by the word of God. And I know you do. Because I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe God. Believe the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. Folks, this all works together. It all makes sense if you understand who we are, why we're here, how God works. And prayer is so important because prayer, again, is given God the license, if you will, to interfere in the earth realm through a man or a woman who has a body. Now, Miles Monroe just passed away last Sunday. He wrote a really good book on prayer, Understanding the Purpose and Power of Prayer. Very good book on prayer if you want to read a good book on prayer. Miles Monroe. And he's been very helpful in helping me understand the importance of this. But God chooses human beings to work through in the earth realm because He gave us the dominion in the very beginning. And He gave us legal right to rule on the earth. Now, I want you to hear something. Demons are illegal spirits. And that's why they are looking for a body. Because your body on the earth gives you legal right to be here in the spirit. Because we're spirits in the body. So Satan also is looking for access to bodies of people. All right? Through his demons, they're trying to get access to people so they can do their dirty work legally on the earth. Now, why do I say legally? Because once they enter into the body, they can only enter in by some door that has been opened to them, either willingly or unwillingly through generational sin. Okay? And so the enemy is looking for any way he can get into somebody, first of all, to destroy that person, but also to wreak havoc in the earth. The reason why things are messed up, folks, is because evil is prevailing, because the enemy is possessing people at an alarming rate because of the filth and the junk that they're subjecting themselves to, opening the eye gates and the ear gates, and he's coming in, and he's not only messing up that person, but he's looking for the innocent victims to also victimize. Are you hearing me? And God cannot, because he will not, because he won't break his word. And God gave us, amen, his people, the church, the authority to invoke his influence on the earth realm. But God will not violate his word. And therefore he waits for somebody to cooperate with him and say, God, here am I. I am a vessel that you can use to accomplish your plan, your purposes. Folks, I'm totally convinced if the church would pray and return to God, amen, and they began to call heaven in, that America overnight could change. But it's because the people who are called by His name will not humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. Therefore, because good men are not doing what's right, evil prevails. Because when people open the door through sin and rebellion against what God says is wrong, they are giving legal access for demons to come in. You see? So we're going to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And anything else is illegal, amen? It's not welcome. And I'm not opening the door. Do you understand? That's what Satan did in the very beginning, in the first temptation. He needed a dirt body. And so the serpent was willing to give him a body. Because outside of that body, he was illegal. So he had to find a body. He came into that serpent. And the Bible says that the serpent was upright at that time. He must have had legs. I've never seen a serpent walk on its tail. But it was upright. But he allowed Satan to enter into him, and Satan spoke to the serpent, and he tempted Eve. And that's why God cursed the serpent, because he gave his body over to the devil. And said, from now on, you will slither on your belly. Do you understand? When you mess around with demons, you mess around with the devil, you bring a curse in your life. May God grant us repentance in this nation, for we are an idolatrous nation. I want to see America saved. I want to see our homes healthy again. Amen. I want to see our children happy in the Lord. And I want to see our nation healed and restored and families brought back into divine order. You know the reason why the divorce rate is so high? It's because we've got a better idea than God. I don't like the way God says we're supposed to do things, so we'll do it our way, or we'll read the latest book on how to be a happy couple. Are you hearing me? And it's causing all kinds of dysfunction. Because God has an order that always works. How many agree this Bible is true? This word works. And people don't know what this says, but they know what all the psychiatrists and the psychologists are telling them. Even the Holy Spirit left the earth realm because the body of man became corrupted. When Eve sinned, are you hearing me? They wore God-like clothing. But when they sinned, Holy Spirit could no longer be there because of contamination. And then they knew they were naked. They lost their covering. And they tried right away to cover their own sin. You remember with the fig leaves? That wasn't good enough. There had to be a blood sacrifice. And God clothed them with animal hides as a temporary measure until the time of redemption, the time of Messiah, Jesus, the Lamb of God would come. And isn't it interesting that even through the same woman, amen, from Eve, where the transgression first came, God told Satan, guess what? From the same woman, I'm going to raise up a Redeemer. Jesus Christ, amen, born of a virgin. In the fullness of time, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son. He sent His Son into the world. So in Genesis 3:15, He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. What is that seed? Corrupted Adam's seed and Christ. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise His heel. What is He talking about? He's talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. The seed of the woman would be what? The Messiah, Jesus, the child, the Christ child. Now, folks, understand something. Christ child. He was God and man. Immanuel. In, right? Man, El. Elohim. In man, Elohim. God and man, incarnation. That's what happened, amen? God came and took upon Himself the form of a man, a servant. He took upon Himself a body. For unto us, in Isaiah 9:6, a child is born. Take a look at this. Unto us a son is given. There's a distinction. For unto us a child is born. Who's a child? Jesus. Unto us a son is given. Not born, but given. How many know that Mary is not the mother of God? She is the mother of Jesus. And she should be honored, but she is not to be worshipped. Because she was a woman that God chose to carry this child. Amen? And so a child is born, Jesus, and a son is given. In other words, Jesus Christ. Amen? The God-man. Jesus, man, Christ, God. The God-man. Why was that necessary? Because Adam's race had been corrupted, and so God would not violate His word. And so He also had to submit Himself to His own word and become a man. Isn't it good to know that God can be trusted? That God doesn't break His word? If God violated His word, then we couldn't trust Him. But God does not violate His own word. In Hebrews 10:5, it says, therefore, when He, Christ, came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. You understand? He needed that earth suit. So this child, Jesus, will make the Son, or Christ, legal on earth. Luke 1:30, the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive or in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Jehoshua is the Hebrew, and it's Savior, right? Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. M in what? Man? Elohim. God and man. So is our body important, folks? And that is why we need to take care of this temple. We are not to defile this temple. We are not to give this temple to other source or other spirits. Amen. That are trying to inhabit this body, because our bodies are designed, first of all, for us, but also for God as his temple, so that on the earth his will be accomplished. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul was saying, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So what happens when you die, contrary to what some people are saying or thinking, you're not going to be floating around in Etherville, because it is illegal for a spirit to not be in a body. Are you hearing me? And so when you die, you go to be with the Lord. Amen? And everyone who dies, amen, are going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every knee is going to bow in that day and give an account. And we're going to, because we are a spirit, we are going to live forever and ever without end. Your spirit will not die. You will spend eternity someplace. And the Bible says there are two alternatives, heaven or hell. There is no purgatory in the Bible. That was something that man came up with. Now back to prayer, folks. Nothing can happen on earth. Nothing can happen on earth without the cooperation of human beings. Otherwise, there's no point to pray. If God is sovereign and God's going to do what God's going to do, there is no point. And Jesus would have been wasting his time by emphasizing the importance that men ought to always pray. Isn't that what Paul, the Thessalonians, is what? Pray without ceasing? You want to see your family turned around? You want to see your life turned around? You want to see America turned around? Amen? Then it's going to require the body of Christ on the earth, the temple of God's Spirit, to enter back into their priestly office of invoking heaven's influence, his divine influence on the earth realm. God is looking for men and women who will step up and say, Lord, I'm making myself available for you as your intercessor, as your vessel. Folks, I've heard people say that you have a gift of intercession. I do not. Do you know what? I do not find that gift mentioned anywhere in the Bible. The gift of intercession. The Bible says that we are all to pray. That's an excuse for not praying. And you know what? Prayer is not always easy, but I have discovered that if I will discipline myself to pray, that God gives me the grace I need to pray. And that I find that prayer is the most enjoyable thing I could do, because I'm having communion with Him who is the life-giving Spirit. Amen. He will not only refresh and renew you, but through us, He will bring His kingdom purposes to pass on the earth. When I come again, will I find faith, says the Lord? Will I find men who are still faithful? Jesus said, those who overcome to the end, the same shall be saved. It is impossible for us to overcome if we do not pray. Do you understand that we have no power, no ability, and not enough willpower in ourselves to overcome? As a matter of fact, there are many people who are deceived and thinking that they're doing okay, and they don't realize their true condition, that they are lukewarm, that they are sickly in their spirit, and that the devil has already captivated their hearts and their minds, and they go to church and they do all this church stuff. They play church. Are you hearing me? But they don't have the substance which is Christ. Do you understand how important it is that we avail ourselves to pray? That we give God what He's looking for and say, God, here am I. I am your temple. I am your vessel. He's looking for people. He's looking. His eyes are roaming to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone who will stand in the gap. Isn't that true? That God was looking for men throughout the Scriptures, throughout the Old Testament. He was looking for someone who would be loyal. Someone who would stand in the gap for what? For the people. Because of the authority He gave us. When Jesus died at the cross, amen, and crushed the serpent's head, and He went to hell and He took back the keys, amen. He then appeared to the disciples and He says, I'm going to give you now the keys. That which was stolen, I'm returning to you now. And now you and I, as a priesthood in Christ, amen, have become now His temple. You see, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God only came upon people, prophets, priests, and kings. Why? Because of the contamination of the body. Today, because of what Jesus did, because of our redemption, because we can be cleansed by the blood through forgiveness of sins, now God wants to do what? To fill us with His Holy Spirit. The Old Testament He came upon, in the New Covenant, He fills us with His presence. Amen. God wants to dwell in us and God wants to work through us. But He needs an available vessel. He needs somebody that will say, God, I will be your mouthpiece. I will open my mouth and I will speak for you. Just give me the words. Are you hearing me? I will invite people to church. How many of us are inviting people to church? Do we believe in a heaven and a hell? Do we really believe that? Or do we have just a theological concept? Yeah, it says there's fire in that place. But do we have the conviction? Do we have the real knowledge, the knowing that there is a real hell and people are spirits and they're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell? God is not willing that anyone should go to hell. He doesn't want people to go to hell. People go to hell because they reject Him. And the only offer of salvation, the only way that is possible for us is through Jesus Christ. No other way. Not by myself. I can't save me. It's only by the mercy of God I can be saved. I've got to turn to Him. I've got to repent of my sins. All creation is suffering. Why is the earth convulsing? Why are there famines? Why are there floods? Why are there pestilences and diseases? And all the stuff that's going on, folks, it's because humanity is depraved and has fallen from God. And we are the agents on earth to bring in God's presence. Are you hearing me? And if good men do nothing, if good people do not pray, then we allow the enemy to continue to corrupt. Isn't it true that throughout Scripture you see when Israel had sinned that the land had become defiled? And when the land became defiled, it no longer produced its fruit. It became barren. There was drought. Drought is a result of men sinning against God, their Creator. People point the finger and they blame God. How can you allow these things to happen? It's because people who are called by His name have not stood in the gap and prayed that God will protect our children. That God will save our souls. Amen? And bring even His church back to their first love. God has placed the keys in our hands. Jesus told Peter, I also say to you that you are Peter. And this is right after Peter had said, you know, when Jesus asked, who am I? Who do men say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, by revelation from the Father, knew who Jesus was. And he said, blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And then he said, I also say to you, verse 18, that you are Peter, and on this little rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. The councils of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus. And I, listen, will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know we get this picture, and we've been taught, and many people think that there's St. Peter at the pearly gates with the keys. Are you hearing me? That he's going to let you in and out of heaven. That is a fairy tale. What God gave to Peter, he gave to his people. Amen? He's saying, based upon that understanding, that confession, that Jesus is the Christ. He is the God-man. Amen? On that foundation, I will also give you what? The keys. That in my authority and in my name, you shall invoke my influence on the earth realm. In my name, you shall cast out demons. Amen? In my name, you shall heal the sick. God is saying to His church that I've given you keys just like I've given to Peter. And I will build my church. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Folks, people have gotten all kinds of kooky ideas about what binding and loosing means. Let me tell you what it means. It means if God says, I want to do this, we say, Lord, here am I. I'm a vessel. Work through me. If God says, I want to bind this thing, we say, Lord, whatever you bind in heaven, we're going to agree with you, we're going to cooperate with you, and we're going to bind it on earth. You understand? It's not going around thinking, I'm just going to bind and loose whatever I want to do because I've got this authority. No, it's illegitimate authority to be running loosely with your own idea. Legitimate authority is the authority of God in my life saying that I'm going to listen to what He says. I'm going to listen to His voice. When I'm under His authority, then I have legitimate authority. And if God says, bind that demon in Jesus' name, then we say, I bind you in Jesus' name. If He says, loose that person from that infirmity, we can loose him in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus did only what He saw His Father do, spoke only what He heard His Father speak, and we are to do likewise. We don't want to be loose cannons, amen, just running around with our own idea. Jesus didn't have His own agenda. Prayer is man giving God legal access to intervene in earth's affairs. That's a quote by Miles Monroe. Do you understand, folks? You are very important. In the sense that you are a vessel that God wants to use. Understand that we have this treasure in just a clay jar. Amen? But the treasure is of God. So we're not to bring attention to ourselves, but we're to give glory to God. And we should be thankful that God would choose to use us as His vessels, that we can be His temple on the earth. Do you understand that if you pray, folks, in accordance with the will of God, that He hears you? If you pray the mind, the heart of God, the Father, it's going to happen. It's not an if. We need to hear His voice. We need to return, amen, and pray and seek His face and know His voice so that when He speaks, we'll speak. When we see Him do, we'll do. And we'll see heaven kiss earth. We'll see the result, amen, of a vessel that's yielded to the authority of God the Father. Now it's not just for the intercessor. Amen. Intercessor. It's not just for sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. It's for you to pray. All of us are called to pray. Have you ever heard this saying, pray or fall, P-R-E-Y? Yeah? You want to know why so many Christians are falling P-R-E-Y, pray? It's because they don't P-R-A-Y. Because we don't think it's that important. Or God doesn't hear my prayers. Or what's the use? God's going to do it anyways. Why should I pray? Because you don't understand. If that's our thinking, folks, we're totally missing the point. God has chosen you and I to be the agents that will represent Him. And that He wants to accomplish His purposes through in the earth realm. I know I'm repeating this a lot. But we've got to understand that what you do and you pray in accordance with the will of the Father is eternal. It has eternal significance. If we want to see men and women, boys and girls saved, amen, from hell, amen, we want to plunder hell and populate heaven, we want to see people come to Jesus, it's going to require the church coming together and praying that God's presence will come down, that the conviction power of the Holy Spirit will overtake people and they will become aware that I am lost, I am in sin, I am in danger of losing my soul. And I need a Savior. Second Chronicles 7:13, I finish with this. When I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. How does that happen? Why? Because people have given license, legal license to the enemy. Are you hearing me? To work. Because we have disobeyed God. That's what happened to Eve. That's what happened to Adam. They became monsters. They became satanic seed when they disobeyed God. That is why our world is so messed up. That is why we have people beheading people and running around in the name of God. It's not the God of the Bible. It's Satan who they serve. They don't know any better. That's not our Jesus. Amen. But these things happen as a result of us. Oh, what I do in private, nobody will know. I live my own life. I'm not going to affect anybody else. Oh? Your life in secret can have open results. It will defile the land. Come on. Do you want to know why America is where it's at today? How many realize that we are living in some very trying times? Most of America is in drought. Do you know there is a parallel between spiritual drought and drought on the land? It's hard to hear the true word of the Lord today in the pulpits. We're in this prosperity gospel, feel good stuff, social gospel today. People don't want to be told they have to repent and turn from sin. Amen. And call on Jesus. They just want to be coddled in their sin and be told it's okay to live any way you like because you're your own God. That's basically what they're saying. God is our Father. Amen. God loves us, but He can't help us. He won't intervene because He'd break His word if we choose to not listen to Him. America has turned its back on God. And now we have the results of even our young people going through the schools and shooting one another up. And this, it's worse than that on the streets, you know that. Small children already just so hardened through sin and deceit that they'll blow somebody away and not even blink an eye. They'll kill somebody over $5, over a pair of tennis shoes. This is the reality, and this is the result of sin. This is the result when the church, are you hearing me, refuses to pray. On last Wednesday night, I had a message all prepared, you know. I just looked at that and it was just like, there was just nothing there. And there was only, again, there's so many that were missing again. So many people are missing church. God help us. But I just felt like God said, I want you to pray. And as soon as I said, I feel we need to pray, would you come up? Immediately, I just felt the stirring of the Spirit. I just felt God's Spirit. It's like, oh, Jesus. The Lord is pleased. Why? Because we're saying, God, I'm giving you access to the earth realm through me. You know what? If God's people in this city will quit fighting each other and start loving each other and start working and praying and coming together, this city can be turned upside down in a day. It requires God's people to turn it around. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I'll finish. If my people who are called by name, my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. You see all those things that we need to do? We need to seek His face and we need to turn from our wicked ways. Then, do you want a life for your children? Do you want your grandchildren to have a life? We can turn it around, folks. God is waiting for us, His people, to come back to Him. And He wants to heal our land. He wants to heal America. He wants to restore America. But He will not unless we position ourselves as vessels for Him to work through. And if we just have the que sada, sada mentality, whatever will be, then the devil will continue his path of destruction. It's up to us. You know, you've heard me say this before, and I've had ministers get mad at me because I've said it's the church's fault. You can't point fingers at people that don't know God. They're going to do what I used to do, whatever I thought was right in my own mind. I didn't know any different. You know, I just loved sin. I had a life of sin. I just did whatever I felt like. You know, and I couldn't understand these crazy Christian people. But if the light is on, if Christ is in you, then you have a knowledge, you have an understanding of what God is requiring. And we can't be lazy about this. We've got to get back, amen, to God. We've got to return. And we've got to make ourselves available and we've got to pray. Folks, how many are up for the challenge to say, let's do this. Let's get together. Let's pray heaven down. Let's see the fire of God fall on us, amen. Light us up again. Let's get excited. You know, people are losing their zeal. They're losing their excitement. It's a sign when they start... Now, I'm not so concerned about coming to church. Why? Because something is missing, folks. When there's a fire burning, people want to come and they want to watch the fire burn. Come on. And God's not going to do it unless we pray. Even in our services, folks, I love you. And I'm not, please. We've got to be praying. When we come through that door, let's pray. Amen. When we get together, let's pray. Hey, Suk and I have just been talking. God has been speaking volumes to me about this. How many have heard from the Lord today? How many hear that God is calling us back to prayer? Amen. If not, then help God help you. But God is calling us to pray because God is good. And God wants His goodness to be seen. He wants His goodness to be experienced. He wants people to have joy. He wants people to enjoy His fellowship, His love, the comfort of His love. Amen? He wants people to walk in His peace, peace of heart, peace of mind. Not popping pills full of anxiety, but God wants His people full of His peace. And it means that you and I, We've got to pull together. Folks, we can walk out this door and say, that was a good message. But if we're not willing to commit ourselves to this, folks, it's just going to be the same old, same old. And people come and we do this thing. We punch the clock on Sunday morning and whenever we show up, and we don't have any anticipation, expectation. Because if we really believe that God wants to do something, amen, in the earth realm, then we're going to pray more. Because that's what God, exactly what God says, is I'm looking for a vessel. I'm looking for a man or a woman or someone who will say, God, here am I. Use me. I will be an intercessor.